com.
I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
And good afternoon once again. This is Jim Santel in the bottom half hour of the afternoon here on Devil's Advocates radio program. I'm sitting in for the next 30 minutes or so for my good friend and colleague Mike Crute, who is headed to another venue in Waukesha to do some more broadcasting tonight. Looking forward to that as well. Delighted to be with all of you and follow up to our discussion in the first half an hour of this hour. Let me go back to a couple of things I promised Mike I would chat about before he departed to the next venue, and that is this Peter Navarro indictment today. As we discussed right before the break, Peter Navarro, a former trade representative and economics guru for the Trump administration, was indicted yesterday by a federal grand jury who returned a two-count indictment. Actually, the indictment was returned today, but plainly a grand jury doing some work on this for many days in advance of today. Two counts alleging contempt of Congress. Why two? One of them goes to the fact that Mr. Navarro simply did not appear for a planned deposition before the committee, which hundreds of other people have already done. The second count is respect to documents. He was also asked by the committee, by virtue of its subpoena, a very legal way of asking for those documents, asked by the committee to produce those documents. He failed to do that as well. And so how have we seen this before? We've seen this before because we know that a similar thing happened with respect to a fellow named Mike Bannon, who is also a senior advisor to the president. Bannon himself indicted by a federal grand jury, the same kind of thing, simply failing to show up in front of the committee. His trial in a federal district court on those charges scheduled for next month, so some additional entertainment and some focus for America going on very, very soon. But Peter Navarro, again, today indicted, the announcement of his indictment today. Also, as Mike said before the break, actually appeared in front of a federal judge today. His arraignment, he plainly pled not guilty. Significantly, Mr. Navarro representing himself. He can do that, as we said right before the break. Why? Because he's a citizen, a resident of the United States of America. You can do that even if you're not an attorney, although the judge encouraged him to get counsel, as we said before the break, not an especially good idea. We also know beyond that there are two other matters that are still pending out there, right? We know as well that the same committee has also recommended to the United States Department of Justice, to the Attorney General, two other people. Because we know that from the announcements from the committee itself and the decisions made by the full House of Representatives. One of those referrals, likewise, for the possibility of prosecution for contempt, Mark Meadows, the former chief of staff. That matter is still pending in front of Merrick Garland in his inbox. And this fellow named Dan Scavino, who did a lot of communications for the Trump administration. Likewise, same pattern with Bannon, same pattern with Navarro. Failed to appear, failed to produce documents. And so those referrals are still pending. So out of the four, we have two indictments, one going to trial next month, Peter Navarro plainly going to trial at some point down the road, two others still pending. Now, why do I talk about all that? It sounds like it's very much in the weeds, and sort of it is, but it indicates, number one, that the committee is serious about its work, its attention to people appearing on a regular basis. We know that the committee has already taken a look and has interviewed hundreds of other people, most of whom have cooperated voluntarily, produced a lot of documents. And as Mike and I chatted in the first half hour of this hour, a lot of that's going to be the product of their work. We're going to see that next week, beginning next Thursday, the announcement from Benny Thompson, the chair, that in prime time, you can tune into this radio station as well and hear the actual presentations made live by the committee members about what their findings have been to this point, anticipating that the committee will also probably almost certainly before the fall elections issue a report of some kind summarizing all of this. But this, I would offer, maybe not an easy way to understand what this has been all about, but the first time since the interviews of those police officers way back in July of 2021 when the Capitol Police appeared. The first time the committee has once again gone public with information about what it is doing and what it has done. And so we look forward to that. Now, why do I raise all that? Why is that significant beyond just the things that the committee is doing? Well, we know as well that there are other matters going on in front of the United States Department of Justice. It's very, very easy, if you will, to confuse all of this. This coming out, plainly of Congress, a referral to the executive branch, to 9th and Constitution, which is where the Department of Justice is, and a criminal prosecution coming out of that. What is the related story that we talked about on Wednesday here on this show? And Dom and Mike were here, and we chatted about the other big news story also involving Peter Navarro. It's related. It's much related to this, but it's slightly discreet. It's slightly different from this. And what is that other story? And that is this, that Peter Navarro, a couple of days ago, in addition to continuing to appear on various cable networks and talk about his particular plight, also released a draft, if you will, of a civil lawsuit that he was bringing against the very committee that had referred him for criminal prosecution. Following all of this, he had released that draft, and in the course of that writing that he was going to submit to and file with a federal district court, a civil action, presumably asking that the court stop the committee from doing what it's doing. In the course of that pleading, Mike Navarro made a significant revelation, the one that we'd sort of been talking about for many, many weeks and months. And that revelation was that he had also been subpoenaed by a federal grand jury to talk about January 6th. Again, you might think, well, gee, isn't that exactly what the House committee did? The answer is it's different because you've got different venues, you've got different branches of government, and it confirmed as we talked on Wednesday that there is also a pending investigation led by the Criminal Division, led by Merrick Garland and others at Maine Justice, investigating independent of the House committee investigation, investigating whether there is any criminal conduct. And I would offer the fact that Peter Navarro is himself being subpoenaed to provide documents in that matter, and that much related but different matter, before another grand jury. That confirms that indeed the Department of Justice is looking, as Merrick Garland said a number of weeks, if not months ago, looking at the highest levels to who was in charge of, who is making decisions about what was happening on January 6th. So once again, this is a contempt charge. He has been indicted, as has Bannon, for the same kind of thing. The U.S. Department of Justice, we think with a good amount of certainty, is also pursuing a related but different investigation about who is responsible for January 6th, not focused upon the failure to appear in front of Congress, but focused upon what happened on January 6th, before January 6th, and after January 6th. And that's why that information also coming from Peter Navarro is very significant this week. And that is why we continue to look not only to what the committee is going to be presenting next week, but to down the road, if other people at the higher levels, again, Peter Navarro is not at the highest level, but plainly a senior advisor to the president. He had this role as a trade advisor, an economics guy, but also undeniably, as the committee itself indicated, conversations with the president, strategy decisions with others about how to perpetuate the so-called big lie that, in fact, the election was stolen. It was not, as we know. What did he do to advance this theory that has electors in Wisconsin and six or seven other states putting together false documents, sending those to the archives and sending those to the Congress, purporting to represent actual electoral votes? How was that going to play out in Congress, perhaps with the vice president and the certification that he presided over of the electoral votes? What do you do? All those things, all those machinations, that's what plainly the Department of Justice is now looking at. And the fact that Peter Navarro in the West Wing at that time is the subject of that grand jury subpoena, admittedly, not for his testimony, but for documents, indicates that they're looking at higher level people. And as we've talked before, those indictments that have been issued previously, hundreds of people, 400, 500 people already charged, even as late as yesterday, two additional people for their mere presence in the Capitol building on January 6th. You've got that tranche, that huge number of people indicted by grand juries, being tried successfully by the Department of Justice, also a lot of them pleading guilty. Then you've got this second tranche, this second level of people who are responsible for organizing them, the Proud Boys, the Three Percenters, some of these other folks who may or may not have been there. And then you've got this higher level, which I would offer to you are the Peter Navarros, the people in the Wyndham Hotel, the people perhaps in the West Wing at the time, who were engaged in conversations certainly on January 6th and probably before and after that as well. What does that grand jury investigation look like? Again, not the one related to contempt, but the investigation that Peter Navarro has revealed to us now by virtue of his grand jury subpoena for these documents. What is that all about? Plainly, asking for information. We know, in addition to the subpoena to Peter Navarro for his documents, that very significantly, the U.S. Department of Justice has also asked the committee for all of its transcripts. And again, once again, this, I know this sounds very complicated, lots of things going on here. It's all related to the same kind of thing, right? The same subject matter, but different parts of government doing different kinds of things as they're assigned constitutionally. The Department of Justice, as a part of what we now know as its investigation, presumably its criminal investigation, also asked for committee transcripts of things that they have heard, that the witnesses have provided to them during the course of its month-long investigation. Why do you do that? Well, we talked about this a little before. You don't do that simply because you're going to predicate a separate set of indictments based exclusively on those transcripts. But you do want to find out about what everybody has said. And if you are, for example, looking to confirm or deny the accuracy of somebody who's provided a statement to the FBI in your separate criminal investigation by the Department of Justice, if you're looking to verify or refute the testimony of somebody else who's already appeared before this other grand jury, and you've got these other statements that they may have made in another forum, that is not only extremely helpful, it's entirely appropriate for the U.S. Department of Justice to be looking at that and investigating that as it puts together this larger examination of who was responsible, I would offer, at the very highest levels of responsibility before, during, and after January 6th. A lot going on here, a huge amount going on here. We know as well, to add to this mix, we've talked about this before, Lisa Monaco has also confirmed that the Department of Justice is looking at another key piece of this that I mentioned already, and that is this notion that, as a part of this overall plan put together by this fellow named John Eastman, some other attorneys as well, this Eastman memorandum, this notion that there's a consolidated effort, has many different aspects to it, to basically return the election, return it over, if you will, overturn the results of the election, turn this away from Congress and get it back to the states. This mechanism was in part relying upon the notion that individual electors would come forward and falsely represent that they were the true electors from, say, Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and other states that were in play seriously during the last election. And they, as we know, as I said before, they sent those documents off, from my perspective, making false statements on behalf of themselves and perhaps others about what happened. And those documents are now the subject, those actions by those false electors here in Wisconsin and other places are also, we know that they're also the focus of an investigation, a federal criminal investigation by Maine Justice, that confirmed by Lisa Monaco, the Deputy Attorney General of the United States of America. We'll talk about more of that and take your calls as well after the break. More this afternoon on Devil's Advocates. Jim Santel sitting in the last moments of the afternoon, and we'll do more of that discussion right after the break.